She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties. Did you say blowjob?
Oh, we're sympathizing with the stalker.
The title of my sex tape is going to be Blowjob and Black Girl.
You know what? Fast forward it. Make it like a thing. Do something silly with it.
It's like we've become pros at this.
His obsession with her boobs.
Gosh, we are filming so late. Not only like late in the day, but we're filming late for this episode.
Well, like, late in general. I feel like anytime I complain about something being late, I'm like, God, I'm getting really old. All I do is complain about how late things are.
Not
oh my
yawning.
God, so me too.
Sorry. But we lost internet for a few days here in Virginia.
Because of the weather. Was bad.
Yeah, because of the hurricane that went through. And that is completely minor compared to what, you know, people North Carolina are dealing with. So we're a little late in filming because we didn't have internet. We were ahead of the game. You and I had read and we were ready to go, and
we just
no internet.
Sometimes life's harder than we can plan for.
Yeah, and I've been getting these headaches the past couple of days.
Oh, no.
And they suck, and you want to know what they're caused from?
Tom.
But I love that you said that. I work in a library that is in an old school building. Like, the school building has been turned now into a library on one part, the YMCA on one part, and
it's just a multifunctional
satellite
building.
Yeah. The library is like the biggest part of it. And I can hear the lights.
Oh, I hate that. When you can hear the fluorescent lights, it just, it's this high-pitched,
it's awful.
It's awful. And those lights make your eyes hurt so fucking bad.
Yeah, so I had gone, I don't have my own office at this library, so I had gone back into, like, our staff workroom, and I, like, turned the lights off, and I just sat there with some ASMR sounds, and, like, that helped, but the second I had to go back out,
it's those lights. They're so rough.
They're bad. And I thought... I keep texting you and Katie when I am stony pants and I'm like, I can hear sounds, and everyone thinks this is really funny. But like, what I'm talking about is that I can hear the lights.
I can hear everything.
I'm not stoned at work. Like, I'm not stoned at work, but
I mean, God, that would make story time way more fun.
I don't think I could do story time stoned. I wouldn't try because I'm a good employee.
Can you raise me this page? Because Miss April needs a nap.
But I hear the other lights when I'm, and I was like, why? I asked Katie why I hear sounds. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe it's like energy and you're like more in tune to it. And then it occurred to me today that she didn't mean necessarily energy. Like, you have good energy. She meant like energy.
I mean, I get it.
And she's right. I hear energy.
I get it. Like, she's on the my side of the woo-woo side. So I get that, you know, she could mean good energy, you know?
Maybe she did. But today I had an epiphany.
Maybe
where
it's
I was
both.
Like, I hear energy. She's right.
It's so annoying, though. My old office was like that. When I worked in Crofton, it was like that. And the one light was right over me and I could just hear it. And I'm like, but I can hear, that's like one of my curses in life. And I think it's part of my ADHD is I hear everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything. You know,
it's very distracting.
It is. You know the song Raise Your Glass by Pink? I'm going to get very specific for
a second. Raise Your Glass. Oh, damn it. Give me a count.
Mine is an evil laugh. Anyways, I hear a in that song every time, to the point it gives me a migraine if I listen to the whole song.
Yuck.
High pitched beep sound in there, like a beep. And now when you hear it, you're never going to unhear it.
I don't listen to that song very often. I think the last time I heard it was on Glee. Hey, you know what? You know
what? No, I don't know what.
Actually, side note before I say the you know what. What I don't like about that song is I do not think Pink understands what the word, what the phrase nitty gritty means, because that's not, she does not use it. She does not use it correctly. Okay.
Well, what if she was the writer that wrote that line?
The writer that wrote that line, I think, is Bruno Mars. I'm pretty sure he wrote that song.
Well, he's paying his life away in Vegas. So if we have a question about his writing, we need to go find him.
He's pretty wealthy at this point. Guess what?
Chicken butt.
Next weekend, you will be here in Virginia.
I'll be fucking there.
You'll be at my house.
I can't wait.
You've never been to my house in Virginia. Okay, well, I don't expect that all parts of it will be super clean. So your family, so shut the
fuck up. You've been to my house.
Which is always clean.
It's always clean because it's the size of a postage stamp. We have, if it's not, if everything's not in its place, then this house is destroyed and nobody can walk.
You know, I've been to your house twice now and I still haven't seen your basement.
Those stairs are fucking steep.
Well, that's part of the problem that I was having, the back issues, but, or the hip issues, but I'm not anymore.
Also, that's places for the kids. That's why we send them down there.
Yeah, but I'd like to see where my kids are hanging out, making sure there's not like danger.
Oh, you think I have like toxic waste just sludging around down there? They're swimming in it.
Listen, I don't know. I'm not gonna judge.
I'm teaching the boys black magic.
Great.
I admit it.
But you're gonna be here next weekend because
I will be there next weekend.
Saturday. This is going live on Tuesday, and Saturday, a few days after this goes live, we will be filming live at Novel Grounds in Chesapeake, Virginia.
You need to come see us.
We're going to talk about this book, Bad Reputation by Emma Barry, which came out the week that we're filming, so the week before.
Let me tell you what. That book, I finished that so fast, I finished that book so fast, and I don't do high ratings from romance because I always find something fucking wrong with them because romance is usually brushed through and blown through and not treated like a serious writing craft like every other writing is. Some writers just don't treat it that way. Don't come for me. Y'all know this. Emma Barry took her fucking time.
Yeah.
Emma Barry is a writer's writer. And I'm not going to spoil it because y'all need to fucking read this.
I'm enjoying it. I think close to halfway now, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's funny that you say that, Molly, because as our listeners know, romance is my favorite genre. And I often talk about the fact that I know what I'm going to get from a Tessa Bailey. I've read several of her books. None of them have I rated above a 3.5. Okay.
No.
They're always a straight 3.5.
They don't have to be.
I know what I'm going to get from it. So today at work, I had a patron come in who was looking for something that was just like, I needed a fun book. This is what she said. I need a chill book. And she had a Christina Loren book in her hand. And I was like, listen, you are going to get that with them. They are really great. I've read a couple of their books and I like all of them. I have a few more on my physical TBR. I can't say enough good things. They're really quality writers. I said, but
however,
if you want the spice, go get Tessa Bailey because it'll be fun and spicy. And I'm telling you, the writing is not going to be great, but you'll get that, what you'll get fed, that mind-numbing romance.
Rom-com bullshit you want.
Emma Barry is not that. She's not that.
Let me tell you, though, you can turn your brain off with this.
You can, but
absolutely.
But it's also so smartly written that there was a word in it that I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that word is. I like tried to sound it out a couple of times and then I was like, oh, that's what it is. But I mean, this is why I feel like she and Olivia date are friends, because this is how Olivia writes.
It's also an original story. It's so not original. Something we've seen overplayed a time and time again. Mm-hmm. The main male character is like, think Ryder Strong or like James Vanderbeek. Yeah. He's doing the con circuit because he was kind of a bad boy when he was on Teen TV.
Yeah.
And he's trying to fix it.
But don't give away too much because we want people to listen to that episode number one. Mm. But number two, if you are local to the coastal Virginia area,
absolutely. I have the links in the doodly doos already.
Yeah. There are still tickets available. The cost of the ticket is less than the cost of the physical book, and you get a copy of the book, and she will autograph it for you.
And you'll get to meet Emma and us.
Yeah, like, come meet us in person, IRL.
I'll give you guys a sticker and maybe a flyer. If you want a flyer, you can have a flyer.
We'll definitely give out stickers, though, for sure. You can
definitely get a sticker or two. Yeah. Put them on your water bottles.
Yes, like mine are. Which it's funny because I don't talk, I've got two of them on here. I don't talk about the podcast at work because it's not always work appropriate, but I have them on my water bottle. So
10 minutes in. How about a synopsis?
Haven't even told them what book we're talking about.
Guys, do you want to just guess what book we're covering today?
I can show them.
That would work, too. We are covering Butcher and Blackbird this week, guys. By
Bryn Weaver.
Oh, my God. So we are continuing Spooky Month with this gory romance?
Gothic? Well, I don't even know if I would say gothic romance. It's like horror romance.
It's horror romance, but it's... This woman did murder mystery research and romance writing research. She did both lanes.
Yeah, I think she has a personality similar to yours.
She has a lot more conviction because she finished a book.
Murder and fucking. That's what you get from this book.
How about a synopsis?
Also cannibalism. Yes, synopsis.
And cannibalism. Yeah, and accidental cannibalism. We'll go over the warnings after the synopsis, okay?
Okay.
Sloane Sutherland's hobby is unusual. Mm. She likes to hunt down serial killers and make them pay for the harm they've done. Think Dexter.
Right.
She leaves a detailed web, including the killer's eyes, for the FBI to find.
Right.
The world knows her as the Orb Weaver. This is how she meets the Butcher of Boston, Rowan Kane. The two strike up an unlikely friendship after Rowan rescues Sloane. Rowan suggests a little game. Once a year, they hunt the same target. Whoever kills first wins. And to make sure things are fair, his brother, who has an interesting hobby as well, is going to pick the target for them. And if you think his brother is going to be biased, he's not. He's not a fan of Rowan. He wants his brother to lose. As our story rolls on, Butcher, Rowan, and Blackbird, Sloane, become more and more captivated by each other. There is clever banter, bloody murders, and eventually some love. This novel is full of humor, gore, witty lines. Let's take a stab at these questions. Okay. See what I did there? You see what I did there?
Very good pun, Molly. Before you do, though, I got to say something because it just occurred to me while you were giving this synopsis. Isn't Rowan Kane the name of one of the characters in the Dreamland Billionaires series? Isn't that one of the brothers? Why do all of these like dark romance authors think that Rowan is the name you go with?
I wonder if they're like they Google dark romance lead name.
Why Rowan, though? That doesn't sound dark to me.
I don't have the book handy. Do you want to just give, like, a brief, like...
Sure.
Drop down of, like, our...
The trigger warnings?
Our trigger warnings.
Eyeballs, amateur surgery, skin ornament, chainsaws, axes, knives, scalpels, accidental cannibalism, not so accidental cannibalism, questionable use of a mummified corpse, lobotomized manservant... ill-advised use of kitchen implements.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about it. It made me throw up a little bit.
I'm sorry, babe. Do you want me to grab my book? I'll finish.
No. Cookies and cream ice cream. The cream is not milk.
We're not going to... You read the book. You figure it out for yourself.
Detailed sex scenes. References to parental neglect and child abuse. Parental loss. References to child sexual assault. This is not in detail. This is something that happened in the past.
There's just a lot of gross shit, guys.
Yeah. My favorite part is the dedication. For those of you who read the trigger warnings and said, accidental cannibalism, count me in. This one's for you.
That's me. Sign me up.
Not me.
Okay. Bryn Weaver gives a very detailed content warning for this book. Mm-hmm. Even with that, were you prepared?
I started this book before you. You finished before me. You are on a reading high that I am quite envious of right now.
But I can't write, so I'm going to take the reading.
Well, a win is a win.
A win's a win.
So I think I was 3 pages in when I texted you and Katie, because Katie had already read this book. I think she's read the second one, too.
Yeah.
If you're new here, Nurse Katie is our other bestie and often a guest on our podcast.
Go catch up. You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. She's awesome.
She's our favorite.
But I texted you guys and said, I'm on page 3 and I've already gagged and I don't know how I'm going to read this book. And I tried to read it as an audiobook, but there were sound effects and I was like, fuck that. I can't.
See, I liked that.
Mm-mm. Nope. Nope, I don't want to hear the sound of it. Nope, nope.
No, thank you.
No. So, what the fuck was the question?
I asked you, even after the trigger warning, were you prepared for this book?
So, this book is a phenomenon, right? The whole series is a phenomenon. It's all over.
People are loving it.
It's all over the TikToks. It's all over the Instagrams. Hashtag not
I can't
sponsored.
Wait till Showtime gets their hands on it and makes it a bloody gory mess.
Are they?
I don't know. It's just who ditched Dexter, so it's just my assumption.
Gotcha. The thing is that I actually wanted to read this. I think I was one of the ones that said, hey, let's do this, and you put it on as you the host.
I was like, are you sure?
Yeah. I wanted to do it out of sheer curiosity.
It's so popular.
The thing is that I really didn't think it was as bad as the trigger warnings.
Yeah, I mean...
The parts that gross me out, and I think you're going to talk about this later.
We definitely have some spots.
So I won't get into it. But the parts that grossed me out the most weren't even, like, the murder. It wasn't even the cannibalism.
No. No.
Although and one part of the cannibalism was quite foul.
It's also a little funny. No funny. No funny for you.
No.
No funny for April.
No.
See... you're right, though. I think she gave you this massive trigger warning just as a forewarning. This book probably was a lot bloodier before the first edit.
It's possible. And you know, I kind of wonder, because I don't intend to read the rest of the series.
I got you. I got it.
But
I'll take that hit for the team.
But I wonder if they get more gruesome as time goes on. But I don't know, because the next book follows two characters.
It's about Lark.
Right. And... Rowan's brother, and
who's in a relationship.
He murders people, but she doesn't.
But not in the way they do, right? Like, Rowan's brother just kind of researches and kind of just...
No, I think he's involved with some...
Like, he's like the leather guy, right?
Yeah. Like, I think he's a gang guy or something.
Oh, like at a motorcycle club or something?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't plan to read it, so I don't know. I don't fucking know.
Okay, so question 2. This novel isn't a straight-up romance, and it isn't a straight-up horror. The author somehow seamlessly blends the two genres and somehow gets a lot of humor into this book. What did you think of The Butcher and Black Cup? No! What did you
say? Did you say blowjob?
No, I said Black Butcher and Bird Chop.
I heard blowjob and black girl, and I was like, that's not what we read.
That's a porno. Name of your sex tape.
The title of my sex tape is going to be Blowjob and Black Girl.
Yup.
Are you sure about that? That's the lane we're going down.
Absolutely. Okay. Congratulations.
Great.
Okay.
Not sure how that's going to work, but okay.
We're going to find out.
What's the fucking question?
I'm trying to get it!
Oh my gosh.
This novel isn't straight up romance, and it isn't straight up horror. Mm-hmm. The author somehow seamlessly blends the two genres and somehow got a lot of humor into this book. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Butcher and Blackbird, the mashup? Mm-hmm.
I love them as a couple. I love them as competitors. the witty banter hit for me.
And, oh my God, that witty banter
just so good. It was so good.
It's just that nice part of your brain that makes you happy all the time.
And it's why I read romance, because I like the witty banter. I like smart talking, and I love it. I love it. Mm. And I like it when he's like, all right, Blackbird, whatever. Like, or I don't know. I like the witty banter. He's kinder to her than I would expect someone who's a serial killer.
Right. It shows that they're full people, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I don't really like dark romances. And I know recently you read, what was it? You read.
Oh, the Mafia one.
Mafia one. I don't like that.
I don't either. I read it for a challenge.
I know. I don't like the shut your fucking mouth or, that kind of stuff. Like,
I don't be domineered.
I don't want that aggression. Now, mm-mm. I'll tell you, if Tom calls me a good girl, I like that. But,
I like being told what to do because I'm a boss of pants 95% of the time. So that's the only time you get to tell me what to do. That's it.
All right, Biggs. I'm proud of Matt for telling you what to do in the bedroom. That makes me super impressed with him. Like, I go Biggs. But here's the thing about Butcher and Blackbird. He's never aggressive with her.
No.
He's flirtatious.
Even in the sex is intense. Mm-hmm. Even when he sets up safe words, he sets up he goes slow.
He's very demanding of her. He's like, I told you to spread your fucking legs. Like, you're gonna do what
I tell you to do.
But never is he like hitting her or like forcing her to do something that she's uncomfortable with. He's always very careful that her pleasure and comfortability are important. And that's what I want from a dark romance.
Yeah. What's also really great about this book is the balance of the horror to romance.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't getting inundated with just romance and we're not getting drowned in the blood of the horror. It is a balance of the two. And she figured out a nice way to seamlessly slowly work them in. And this book happens over years.
Four or five years. Yeah.
And it's just really impressive how she slowly dragged it out. This is the longest slow burn I've read.
Like, no, it isn't for me. It isn't for you either. The Wall of Winnipeg.
I mean, time frame, not book. Time frame.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm trying to think if it's the longest one I've read. Mm. Probably not, and probably not for you either, because we've read Beach Read.
Yeah.
And...
That happens over summer.
That's more of a second chance romance, so I don't know that that counts.
And that's like over a summer.
Yeah.
This is like over 5 years or so.
5 years. 5 years. It's a long time, but...
Yeah. Just a lust and want after someone.
Man. Like, he doesn't... The only creepy thing that he really does is when he delivers the food.
I found that so creepy.
It was creepy, but I was like, how cute is it that he like just wanted to feed her and like help her cook. But it was creepy as hell.
But it's like, oh, we're sympathizing with the stalker.
Yeah, but Molly.
That was conflicting me for a minute.
But here's the thing. Butcher Rowan, whatever you want to call him, I like calling him Butcher. He's not the kind of man that's just going to cook her a meal. Like, he's not going to do that. He's going to want to be more involved than that because he is a chef. He wanted to feed and nourish her. But she's also
so independent that if he just showed up to feed her, she wouldn't let it happen.
She wouldn't let him.
No.
But I think it's really, I don't know how to explain it because
it's a good balance of their behaviors.
What I think the reason that I responded to this is because I think the author handled this balance between these mm-hmm. you know, between this darkness in both characters and the sweetness that they have for each other really well.
And the joy and love that they both desperately need.
This book written by Colleen Hoover is a totally different story.
Mm.
It's a totally
Preach it, sister.
Colleen Hoover picks up this kind of story and writes this kind of story, and it's violence and it's no longer sweet. And we start looking at it going, this is unhealthy.
But we're not not everyone sees it that way, which is kind of sad.
I mean, listen, we say on this podcast a lot that we don't judge reading except for 50 Shades of Grey. But I'm starting to slowly put Colleen Hoover into that category because
I won't ever read her again.
I won't either. And I actually, I gave away my copy of It Ends With Us because somebody was wanting to read it. And I was like, I will never read this again. So you can have it.
Our next book exchange. Like, I just Piper asked about it because it's so popular. And I was like, no. Dude, and I explained why.
Well, there were eighth graders reading it when I was teaching at the middle school. And I was like, this is not what you need to think love is.
Liv's classmate in seventh grade was reading.
No.
Next question.
It's just, Hang on. It's just that when it comes to Colleen Hoover, I feel like she's causing damage to young women. She writes the young adult genre, which is very popular with the TikTok crowd. We're too old to be in the young adult
category. I don't care what she thinks. Well, because we're not impressionable for her.
But if you're somebody that is a new adult and this is what you think love is, I just want to give you a hug and tell you that you need to wait to find a partner that will treat you better than this.
Facts.
Because this is not healthy. It's not love. I have been in relationships like the Colleen Hoover books. They're not healthy. They will fuck you up forever. All right.
Therapy's expensive, kiddos. Let's just remember that. Therapy's expensive, kiddos.
Facts.
Okay. Sloane and Rowan both have a pretty established backstory by the time we meet them. One problem we've recently had on pod is that we are assumed to know the history of our characters.
Yes.
What did Bryn Weaver do differently that makes the difference, in your opinion, for this novel?
I think what made it better here was that there was notoriety, like, in their crime world.
Their world,
yeah. That these two people existed, and they both knew each other. And so instead of us not getting a backstory, or getting a backstory that took us out of the narrative so that we could get the backstory, what she did was have the characters tell us about the other character.
Right, they kind of fed in. And that was
smart.
It fed in. Mm-hmm. It was so clever because one of the things we always complain about as readers in general is that we're expected to know things about characters as soon as we start the book, right? She gave it to us as soon as we started the book.
You know, it's actually one of the things that... A very smooth way. And it's actually one of the things that bothers me a lot about TV shows, particularly ones that are about friend groups. I think about the premiere of Friends, the pilot of Friends. We're supposed to know these relationships that they all have already, and it's not really clearly established. And why would Monica not be invited to her wedding if they were
close enough that
she would run to find her?
That's so fucking weird.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That is so weird.
Like, but I do...
Because a girl like Rachel... I'm going to go deep into this now because you dug up that, you pulled that rock open.
Well, the Gellers were friends with the Greens, so
a girl like Rachel has 27 fucking bridesmaids. Her best friend, the girl she did communion with, her best friend from high school, her best friend from kindergarten, the girl she went to summer camp with, her cousin Judy, the one that's always drunk. Like, there's a bazillion people in her party.
Yeah, and the Greens and the Gellers were friends, like their parents were friends, so there's no reason why. Yeah. Anyway, back to the book. I think she did a good job telling the story through each other.
I agree.
And I know this is skipping all the way to the end, and I won't give away the ending yet, but we do give spoilers. But the end scene where we get to, like, our climax of the story.
Yeah.
The bad. He mentions knowing about them.
Yeah.
Because everybody does.
Because it's known.
It's known. And so she continued. Because
everybody goes and hides in August.
Right. So she continued that from the beginning of the book, where they knew about each other, to the end of the book, where the people that they were hunting knew to hide in August.
It's well weaved.
Yeah.
Her last name's Weaver. Good job.
I wonder if that's a pen name.
Weaver?
Yeah, I mean, I know that is a real last name, but I wonder if this is her pen name, because...
No.
Orb Weaver, you know?
Nope, that's her real name. Face and all. Unless she's just lying about it.
I mean, it could still be a pen name, and...
I mean, Mark Twain, you know? Right. Mark Twain was out and about, and... When Rowan and Sloane first meet, she's stuck, and well, he rescues her. Even with the blood and gore, is this introduction a meet cue?
So this is where I gagged the first time, because I absolutely hate maggots. I think that they are so disgusting.
It's awful.
And the imagery.
That process alone, it's so gross. But okay, so we're not going to talk about what was happening. Is it a meet cue?
I mean, insofar as they're serial killers, sure. Sure.
I mean, because of the banter and how cute they are and how, I just,
like, I can picture his face when he's like, oh my gosh, I'm meeting the Orb Weaver. It's like how we it's how we feel. Like,
she was in that dog kennel and he was just like, hey, how's it
there?
Going?
You hey there, friend.
I can let you out if you want.
Do you want some milk?
But, for those playing the home game and watching the video, I got real close. I'm sorry.
But do you remember when we met? Okay, so we've met so many people that we fangirled over. But like, let's start with Cece Harrington, Christina. We were at a party. Mm-hmm. We were there because we were our podcasters. We were there to meet the authors. Mm-hmm. And I go, I think that's Cece Harrington. And you're like, go say hi. That's what happened in this scene. He mm-hmm. was like, are you the Orb Weaver?
Give me He's like, friends. You're stuck. And you're adorable. And I'm kind of obsessed with your work.
I love this so much. Can I help you out? And can you go take a shower and then not wear a bra after?
Oh my god. His obsession with her boobs, just like, and that is so fucking realistic. You know very well, as soon as you take your bra off, your man's eyes just go.
Listen, when I'm getting dressed, Tom will watch me getting dressed, but once the bra's on, he turns back to his phone. And I'm like, okay.
Lovely. Thanks, Thomas.
But listen, we've been together for 15 years and married for 14 of them, and I'm 42 now, and I am definitely not in the best shape, and he still wants to look at my body, so I feel like that's a win.
That's my marriage, too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there are times I'm just like, stop. Mm-hmm. I am exhausted. Stop mm-hmm. looking at me. I feel mm-hmm. gross. Go away. And he's like, but boobs. Both characters have normal lives separate from their hobbies. Mm-hmm. Rowan is a well-known chef in the Boston mm-hmm. area.
Like famous.
Like multiple restaurants. Like
yeah.
One has a Michelin star.
Right.
Like, it's hard to get a reservation at Butcher. Or not Butcher, whatever it is. But you know what I mean. The second. The one that's named after his brothers and him.
Yeah, it's three in.
It, not important. Put it in the diddly doos.
It's okay. Gonna bug me. Go ahead.
Okay, when April... I'm gonna let April figure this out. We'll come right back, folks. We'll be back after a small... break from our sponsors. Never fall in love again until I found her. That's it. That was our sponsors. Air. Wasn't that fun?
Okay, so three in coach, but the reason I had to look that up is because
coach. ADHD's a bitch?
No, because it was three brothers traveling coach.
From Ireland. Boston. Okay, do you want the question over again?
Yes, because I don't even remember what the question before was.
Both characters have normal lives separate from their hobbies.
Okay, yeah. So Rowan owns a restaurant, Three and Coach.
Yep, and she's Sloane a pharmaceutical. She works in pharmaceutical sales. I can't remember if she's a traveling salesperson, if she's in R&D. She's pretty high up.
Yeah.
Both make good money. Mm-hmm. And have established lives with limited number of loved ones. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this balance of a regular life with the murder life that the author gives us?
I just feel like it feels like that wouldn't be possible. No. I mean, I guess if you're going to write a story like this, like, you can't really make a career out of murdering people. So you have to have...
Well, like, I feel like most people that are this murderous have a lot of mental illness and can't really hold stable jobs. But, so the balance of their mental illness is fantastic.
But they're vigilante murderers. They're not psycho. They're vigilante. Like, they both have backstories. Right, exactly. Murder for a cause. They both have backstories in which they found themselves, well, Butcher found himself the victim of child abuse, and he stopped it by killing his father.
Yeah, and him and his brothers left.
Right. And Sloan, her best friend, was sexually assaulted. And herself. Well, she was too. But she didn't care about it happening to her. She cared about it happening to Lark.
Because the thing is with Rowan... Or Sloan, sorry, she's Sloan. He's Rowan. With Sloan, her parents didn't care about her, so she didn't care about her.
Right.
And it was the first time she loved somebody that loved them her back equally. So for Lark to get treated that way just broke her. It just broke her. I like the balance. I don't think it's realistic. We have a lot
it's totally not realistic.
Yeah.
Especially those high profile of a jobs. If you're going to be a vigilante murderer, you're going to do something mundane where people don't know you. You can't be
the face of three Michelin star restaurants.
Right.
It's not like Gordon Ramsay isn't out killing people in his free time. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, he maybe could be, but I don't think it's likely.
I don't think it's likely either. He'd have to give up, like, divorcing women, marrying women, having babies with them, divorcing women, marrying women, giving, you know what I mean? Like, that whole dating younger until they, yeah, I think
his second wife. Isn't Gordon Ramsay with the same wife, like, forever?
I'm pretty sure he's just moved on to a second wife.
Man, this is not important.
You shut your fucking pie hole.
I'm talking to myself that this is not important.
You're right. He's been with the same person. The whole time. You're right. I'm wrong. I rescind my comment.
It's fine. I'm often right. It's okay.
We have a lot of skin crawling moments in this novel.
Just gonna move past that.
The author is very graphic at times. Was there anything that was the worst for you? Yes. I have accidental cannibalism and ice cream on here. So which one was the hardest one for you?
The ice cream, yeah. The accidental cannibalism really, it turned my stomach, but not as bad as the ice cream. But as far as the actual gore goes with the murdering, the worst part for me was taking the mandolin to...
You know, no, don't finish it. It's the mandolin scene, got it.
But the thing about this book that I found the most repulsive wasn't the murdering. It wasn't the cannibalism. I mean, those things turned my stomach, but what turned me off the most from this book was the actual detailed discussion of bodily fluids and how they were exchanged.
That I don't like spit in my mouth and then I'm spit in your mouth and we're going to do that. No, no me gusta.
He came inside her.
Yep. Sucked it out. Spit it in her mouth.
Spit it in her mouth.
Yeah. No me gusta. It, how do you like your taste? How do I taste? No. Moving on.
He put his own semen in his mouth and then... No.
This is why that man's killing people, though. Both Rowan and Sloan have feelings for each other the whole time, but both are wary of getting attached. Do you think this long-term, drawn-out hesitation was necessary?
Yes. I feel like the only way to escalate this faster than 4 years is to have them go on their challenge more frequently than every August. Because... I do feel like, I mean, if we really got 4 years of them back and forth, the book would be a lot longer. And that's not what we have. The book is concise. We have read some motherfucking long romance novels that I'm like, really? this book does not need to be a 20-hour audiobook. And this mm-hmm. isn't that.
No.
She skips right through, you know? Yeah. So I feel like it's fine.
I accidentally skipped two questions up top, so I got to go back.
No one would notice.
This one I think is important. What did you think of the game they devised? We have the Virginia.
Right.
When we went to West Virginia and the hotel manager was killing the hitchhikers.
Right.
And then we have the cannibalism, the cannibalist with the servant that is lobotomized.
Well, he didn't actually lobotomize him. But
which he didn't actually lobotomize him, but that's
also, I got confused. I'll come back to that.
What did you think of their game?
I liked it. I mean, it was a fun little challenge. I mean, for them. I mean, I'm not going to go like, hey, Molly, let's challenge each other to murdering people. But for them.
Oh, man, that would be really fun. Set someone loose in the woods and just give us a gun.
That's the most dangerous game.
I'm sure there is some old white people out there that hunt for fun.
But that's a real short story called The Most Dangerous Game.
I know.
For me, obviously, I'm not going to do this, but for them, it was a really cute way for them to keep in contact. And it mm-hmm. was cute for them. Yeah. Murdering people, cute. I don't know. Can I circle back to the lobotomized manservant?
Yes, please.
I was very confused about this because I kept picturing him sort of like with Dopey, the movement.
Drooling,
of, well, nuts. Kind of like with the movements of a zombie, even though he was alive.
I thought of Hodor.
Okay, that's fair. But I don't watch Game of Thrones or
Tall,
Reddit.
Big.
Or, yeah.
Only a few words.
But, okay, so here's the part that confused me. Hmm. If you lobotomize somebody, how would they, like, be able to do anything?
They take out the part of your brain that thinks the action parts go on their own.
Okay, if a neurologist lobotomize somebody. If Derek Shepherd comes in and does a lobotomy, you might be okay. If a cannibal lobotomizes you, I don't think you're functioning.
We didn't know what the cannibal's career was. He might be a neurosurgeon. We don't assume things on this podcast. No, we do a lot, actually.
We assume a lot of things on this podcast. Listen.
Never mind, moving on.
I feel like that part right there, that was a little underwritten to describe it. And to me, that's why I knew, spoiler, that's why I knew that he was going to be a bad guy in the end.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. Just a thought bubble. Mm-hmm. I think she was trying to find a way to finish this book. And having a lobotomized manservant is 100% a thing a cannibal would have, right?
But I don't know a lot of cannibals. I don't know any cannibals.
I'm not going to mention names, but...
You know cannibals?
No.
Dude, I thought you were serious. I was like, what the fuck, Molly?
You know Armie Hammer. Just a neighbor of mine.
Armie Hammer is a cannibal?
People have accused him of cannibalism. Like, it's a huge thing in Hollywood.
The actor?
Yes! I'll put links in the things. You can read it later. But, like, this man has been accused of some horrific shit. And that's why Hollywood is not working with him anymore. Yeah, Armie Hammer.
I don't think I'm thinking of the same person that you are.
Armie Hammer. Anyway, where were we? Okay, so let's jump into the ending, okay?
No, I am thinking of the same person you are.
David, the manservant, gets dragged back to Rowan's restaurant. He turns them into a dishwasher. They live in a halfway house. Little do they know, he's setting them up to kill them both.
Murder.
Murder?
Murder.
What do you think of our ending? I have a couple more questions, but let's jump into the ending first.
So I knew he was going to be bad. I knew it when she mm-hmm. was like, you have to take him.
He's a puppy.
Look at this poor soul. We need to
it's like,
him.
That's how I talk. That's how I talk at the shelter about another dog to Matt. I was like, but look at him. He's so sad. If we don't bring him home, he's going to die.
Well, she brought a cat home.
Yeah.
Which was fine, but you don't bring the whole person home. Like, you don't bring a whole person from
That's
your murder
kidnapping,
scene.
By the way.
Right.
Stealing a person is kidnapping.
What I don't understand is how, in the end, she was able to have Rowan's brother figure out who he actually was. When they researched him, they researched him before they took him back to, like, they were following up on his trail. Mm-hmm. But magically, in 12 minutes, I thought it was interesting how he conveyed to her that he actually needed help. But at the same time, if she wouldn't have figured it out, he was fine dying and her being safe.
But she wouldn't have been safe because he would have went for her eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would have went for her eventually.
The mandolin grossed me out, but mm-hmm. I have to say that, like, yeah, I mean, that was a cool twist ending.
Yeah.
It was cool. I mean, I saw it coming, but it was still a cool twist ending.
I like that it happened in her restaurant, the restaurant he named for her. That was super cute.
I like that there was a whole team of people who could clean it up.
Of course.
Because it's a sanitary eating environment, so we need to clean this shit up.
Because the health inspector's coming in a week.
Right. We can't just have, like, a murder and skin flaps from a mandolin just, like, hanging around the restaurant.
Mm. So that was, okay, so my other question is, this novel lasts over a span of several years, making it a slow burn. Was the spice worth the wait?
I don't think it felt like a slow burn, because even though it was 4 years, we didn't really read 4 years.
It didn't feel like 4 years for us, the reader. Mm-mm, no. It was just 4 years for them.
Well, it's probably a very slow burn. I was just doing
time math. But right. If I was, man, imagine how hard up they were getting.
And neither of them had slept with anybody else since they met.
No.
Also, her vagina had way too many piercings.
I don't know. That's not for me. Like, I've considered nipples here and there, but
she had 4 vaginal piercings.
Yeah.
That's too many piercings on your vajayjay.
But some people with trauma down there really find it helps them gain control, if that makes sense.
It does. But also, do you need 4 of them?
I'm not.
First of all, I didn't even know you could pierce that one thing. However, you cope with your trauma is
your problem. What's that?
I didn't even know you could pierce that one part. I had to Google it. I was like, I have one of those. Where is that? Yeah. I had to Google it.
And for those that did read the book, I Googled and found all the artwork from the Cannibal's House. So I'll put those in the link too, because I was really interested and had to find them. Do you have any final thoughts, April Goodread? Did I miss anything?
I gave this book a 3.5 out of 5, and it's specifically because of the bodily fluid discussions in the sex scenes. Mm-hmm. I was not as grossed out by the cannibalism or any of the murder, or any of that. Like, even using a guy's dead mom's corpse, like even that didn't gross me out. What grossed me out was the discussion of the bodily fluids.
Yeah, that was during sex. That was rough for me.
I just kept going, ew, no. And then I told Tom about it, and I was gagging. I was like, as I was telling him, and I was like, if you ever even thought about doing that to me,
oh no,
we would not be having sex
for a while, sir. So, before we wrap up, do you want to talk about next week?
Yeah. So we've already kind of talked about it a little bit. We are going to be interviewing Emma Berry, talking about her newest book, Bad Reputation.
Can't wait. I'm really excited to meet Emma.
I met her already, twice now, but I'm excited to spend a little bit more time with her. Tickets are still available. Please look down in the doobly doos and buy a ticket. It is this Saturday, so you do have to get your ticket now. But again, the cost of the ticket is less than the cost of the book. And you get a copy of the book included with your ticket, and she will sign it.
You get to meet us! Right. So isn't that worth the cost of admission?
We're just there for free. Like, nobody's there paying to see us. Although, the irony is, the irony is that there are people that I know who are paying for the event to see us.
Yay!
So, yay, that's pretty cool. And we actually, the week after, we have the privilege, I'm going to show next, the week, 2 weeks out book because of who's going to be on. We have the privilege of having our very good friend, Francesca Zappia, back again. This is the second horror season, spooky season she's joined us for, and we're going to read Listen for the Lie. And I read this as an audiobook, which is, I highly recommend reading it that way.
Guess what I've been saying all week? Listen for the lies. Everybody I've told to read this book, I go, Listen for the Lies is the best book I've read.
That's how you put it on the spreadsheet, too. And I was like, it's Listen for the Lie. But I really liked it, and you'll hear more about it. But I think it's funny that we're having Chezzy comes back for this because this is the second year in a row that she's come during spooky season, and both times mm-hmm. we've talked about a book where there's a murder and a podcaster.
It'll be interesting to see how they compare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank.
That's all I've got, though.
That's all I got. We'll see you guys next time.
It's like we've become pros at this,
or something.
We're seven Til seasons next in. Time. We're seven seasons in. Yeah.
Seven.
All right.
Next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly and not those of anyone else. Today's book was Butcher and Blackbird by Brynn Weaver. Your Book Besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins. Editing by Thomas Watkins. And music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow Your Book Besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact Your Book Besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.